976-1313. How Sports Phone launched careers and broke new ground features never-before-told tales of triumph and tragedy. A mix of hilarity, inspiration, and regret from the broadcasting hopefuls and sports junkies that comprise the brains and voices behind Sports Phone. As colorful as that cast of characters was, those who dialed 976-1313 regularly had their own yarns to spin. They form a tapestry of hardcore fans, award-winning actors, well-known comedians, impulsive gamblers, Broadway singers, infamous mobsters, each with captivating stories told within these pages. Much of what we see and hear today was pioneered by Sports Phone, and this tome from media veteran Scott Orgera and Sports Phone alum Howie Carpin covers untapped historical territory from every angle. Beginning with a compelling foreword written by revered broadcaster Kenny Albert, the co-authors interviewed more than 100 people en route to creating what is a must-read. Check out 976-1313.com to learn more.
We're back, and joining me, he's been on the show before, Howie Carpin. He may be scoring a game at a baseball ballpark or the New York ballpark by you, at Howie Carpin on Twitter. And he has a great project to share with all you guys. Maybe some of you in the audience don't remember it, but I do. 976-1313, How Sports Phone Launched Careers and Broke New Grounds. Howie Carpin, Scott Orgera, you could get it at 976-1313.com. And somebody who started watching sports in the mid-80s, this was invaluable. So, Howie, welcome to the program. I'm taking everybody back in a time machine here, and some people are not going to believe me. There was a time where there was no cell phones that could produce sports scores or the internet. There was no internet. Newspapers had a deadline, so if the Mets or the Yankees were out on the West Coast, the next morning's paper would not have any acknowledgement that the game even happened. And, you know, one of the first bridges to the sports fanatic, maybe even before WFAN, was 976-1313, which I could still remember it. I was tempted to dial it the other day before to see what would happen, but then I'm afraid I'm going to get a big phone bill. I can't argue with Verizon on that. So welcome to the program. This must have brought back so many memories, so many luminaries, including those who are, close to New York Mets fans' hearts, Gary Towen, Howie Rose, the list goes on and on. So how you doing? And welcome to the program.
Oh, pleasure to be with you. It's been a little overwhelming, the response. It's almost like a revival. I mean, we reached out to, like you said, younger people that don't realize this was available before everything that broke out. So that was the idea of the book, to, you know, touch on what went on there behind the scene. And my co-author, Scott Orgera, which was basically a pioneer of what we have today. It led into the digital age and gave a lot of, you know, talented people an opportunity to shine in the business. I mean, the alumni list is incredible, and I'm just proud to be a little part of it.
What were you doing live updates on 976-1313 back in the day? Because you've been official scorer now for a while. You've been doing that for a while. What was your role with them as you went through it?
Oh yeah, I was one of the anchors. I started out as a, you know, as an update anchor on some of the other lines, because we had a Chicago, we had a Detroit, we had a New Jersey, we had a Rochester at one time, a Buffalo. And then eventually, you know, New York was the pièce de résistance, so to speak. You know, that was the big, most exposure that you got. So eventually I was on New York Sports Phone. You know, I worked there from 1980 to 1992. I think I got on New York about in the early 80s, and a lot of people recognize my name from being on that line. And, you know, that was when you worked there, that's where you wanted to be. You wanted to be on New York Sports Phone because that got the most calls.
Absolutely. Howie Carpin joining me, 976-1313, a great book about really the pioneering of where the internet and sports was before the internet. That was calling a number. And I remember just calling 976-1313. I guess it was a 900 number. I never asked my parents how they got the bill They never complained, so I guess I didn't call too much. I used to be afraid. I was like, all right, I'm going to save my calls for the West Coast trips, because you'd wake up and then, obviously you have WFAN, but sometimes it was a matter of you might be out, you might be coming home. Here you are. It's, 10:30. You don't want to wait for the, every half hour. They used to do updates back then. You'd call into sports phone. So to give the listeners who don't know what this is all about, so Mark Vientos hits a game-winning home run today. If you were on sports phone, you wouldn't just be reporting the score. Would you have you? I think you used to have clips. You might have a quick story about the game. It was pretty, if I remember correctly, it was pretty thorough what you guys did over there.
Yeah, well, it was like a mini sports report. We only had a minute, and you really didn't have a minute because you had to do the opening, you had a promo, another line, which featured like sometimes other scores. So, you mostly the it was a main it was mainly a sports report during the afternoon where you used actualities and things like that. But at night, when the games are going on, like for example, last night you had NBA playoffs, NHL, and MLB. We'd have to. You couldn't get all those scores on at the same time, but that was the gist of the report. I mean, you did the scores. You didn't really have play-by-play highlights. We didn't have the rights to those back in those days. But sports phone was the alternative. When WFAN came into being, sports phone started to become obsolete because, as you said, you ran up your phone bill. Fan was free. So really, once fan came in, that started to be the demise. But before that, sports phone was the thing from 80 to, I worked there from 80 to 92. So from 80 to 87 until they came in, that was a big deal, especially when you had like the winter meetings and the NFL draft and all those specialized, sports events. That's where sports phone really shined. And we had NFL Sunday. We used to do the updates every 10 minutes. You got a new update, an updated scoreboard. But when NFL Sunday was on, we used to bring in four anchors to work every hour, 15-minute shifts, because we did 2-minute updates on NFL Sunday, and they used to get a lot of calls. Those were those were the days they got the most calls from. And when we used to see the call volume sheets, they got like 200,000 calls on NFL Sunday, so that was their big day.
And you back then, you didn't have DirecTV satellite. So unless you went to a bar or went somewhere who had, a package, I don't know how it would work before the Sunday ticket, that would be a gambler's heaven, go in and call a 976-1313. What made you rekindle this idea and write a book about it? As soon as I saw the title, I remember it might have been a while ago that you had said you were working on it. I was like, wow, that's a great concept. And I was obviously a customer at the end of the line there, not in the heyday. So, what made you get involved in this project?
Well, you said it right there. That's a great concept. A lot of people came to me, but they knew I was an author, a published author already, and people were throwing it out there. You should do a book on sports phone. You should do a book on sports phone. And then my co-author, Scott Ogera, he was the one who kind of pushed me into it. And it was his idea to combine the two, do a little history of sports phone and then touch on how it affected, what we have today. And what we found was surprisingly so many people, relied on it in those days. I mean, famous names like agents, sports agents, and like Lee Steinberg would call it on NFL draft day. And so many people, we catered. Look, the gamblers were the ones that were, keeping it going. They were the ones that really were interested in the scoreboard updates. But it reached out to so many people, and people in the business that it reached out to. It was kind of overwhelming when we started to do it.
You'll appreciate this. This is a little bit after your time, but I had a black tie event to go to help a friend back in 1997. Game six, Knicks Heat. If you remember, that was the game that had all those players suspended. So I'm at the Waldorf Astoria, which I don't believe even exists anymore. And I said, I'm gonna have 976-1313. So I got all these quarters. Now, this is 2 years after the internet, but there's beepers. My friends were not beeping me coherent scores, so I couldn't figure out the scores they were beeping me. There is no, MLB or NBA app. So, Knicks Heat. And I'm checking every 30 minutes and I'm hearing scores, Knicks up, Knicks up, Knicks up. And, finally third quarter, Knicks up. Like, all right, I'm gonna wait till I know the game is gonna be over. And I'm running out of quarter. So I'm flopping in. And I still remember this. I put the quarters in. It was probably about 10 o'clock or so. And I hear Knicks lost, and I start going, Think of I think it was a Tony Soprano or it was Robert De Niro in Goodfellas, how he banged on a phone, and I'm banging on the phone here in the Waldorf Astoria, and somebody's looking at me like, that guy's crazy, you know, saying things that I can't repeat on the air. But that was what, for pre-internet, even the time during the with the fan, because remember, you're out, you want to get a score, you're a fanatic about the Mets or the Knicks, a big playoff game, you can't be there. It's not like today where you go to an app when you get home and you can just watch it.
Right.
Watch it, you know. It's amazing how much, even during the time of the fan, that this was a bridge for sports fans to engage in the content in such a simple way. And you guys were a big part of it. It must have been a very dynamic newsroom that you guys were in over there. Thinking of guys like me calling every half hour, what's going on with the Knicks? What's going on with the Knicks? And what have you.
Well, as I told you, a lot of talent came through that. And you probably heard Don LaGreca give you the scores at that time because
Yes,
he
yes.
actually worked there after me. We never really worked together. You know, he came in kind of after I was gone, but we had some serious sports conversations, and you know, we had a bunch of serious guys who were serious about their craft, and you know, some good discussions over the years and things like that. And you know, it was a real sports atmosphere for everybody that worked there, and everybody knew their stuff. And there, you know, some people were more expert in certain things, certain sports, and the combination was what made it work. And the seriousness of doing, we were doing sports reports. That's what it was. It was run like a radio station, even though it wasn't a radio station.
Right. And you guys broke some news, didn't you? I mean, it's surprising as I was going through the book, I didn't realize you wouldn't think, look, you back in the day, you get it. WFAN was pioneering, was legendary. They used to break sports stories. A little harder for radio to break stories now with the beat and the internet. But you guys broke a couple of stories, right, over there at Sports Phone?
Oh yeah, we used to, you know, in the book there's a story how he called up, you know, for Wayne Gretzky when the night he set 50 and 50 when he had the five goals that night, and we got him on the phone. We used to do our own, you know, calls for interviews. We called Muhammad Ali a couple of times. We got in touch with him. So yeah, I mean, we used the phone to put stuff on the phone, which was unique in itself. Plus, we ran an audio service for a while where we were supplying WINS with actualities from all the local events every night. So, you know, it turned into kind of a big deal after a while. And yeah, we, you know, what, there's a story in there about John Martin, who worked at Sports Phone, broke a story of a Knick trade when Bob McAdoo was traded, you know, because he ran into the Celtics owner in PJ Clark's. So, like I said, we had serious people. You know, we like to think we were journalistic. And we could break stories, you know, just by making phone calls and investigating things. So, you know, yeah, we broke some stories in those days. We had, you know, I remember we had the Magic Johnson press conference when he announced he had AIDS, and one of my colleagues said that I guessed he that it, we were wondering what would that was all about. Was he going to retire? You know, would have been a surprise if he retired at that point. And I said, I brought up AIDS, somebody said, and sure enough, it turned out to be that.
Wow.
But
Yeah.
yeah,
Back at
but
the time.
I
Yeah.
mean,
And
yeah,
that was
exactly. I
scary.
mean,
That was a death sentence back then. Yeah.
right, breaking stories. We did break some big story. We were at the winter meetings a number of years when the Yankees made the Rickey Henderson trade. Obviously, the Gary Carter trade came after those meetings. But you know, I was on the scene for 1984 in Houston when the Rickey Henderson deal was made. And once that was made, we had it on Sports Phone immediately.
Yeah, that's great. Howie Carpen. You can check out Howie on X at Howie Carpen 9761313.com. I know there's many in the audience probably rolling their eyes and go, look at these two old farts talking about calling up and getting scores. But you guys have no idea how much fun it was. For me, Howie, what I would use it for is Mets on the West Coast. Never could stay up. Either parents didn't have a television in my room at the time. Parents weren't letting me have cell phones. Like the world is different. I was basically in the caveman age until maybe about when I hit 13 or 14. They finally let me have a little tiny TV in my room and I would try to sneak in some West Coast action. But I would call up and I remember the anticipation of waiting for that score. You're like, you got that little, you know, stress it off. Did he win? And then you, especially it was late in the year when the games were bigger and you would wait and you wait. And then you would either be like, yes, like good win, or it would be total disappointment. It was almost like opening up, calling the line when you wanted to get that score. It was almost like Christmas morning in that anticipation. I kid you not. I don't know if you heard any other feedback like that from people who were were customers of it, but it was like Christmas morning calling that lot number up, waiting for your score to pop up.
Well, you'd be surprised. I've heard that from a lot of people in response to this book, which has been overwhelming, and we're very flattered by it. But we got to remember, we had to deal with all the scores. I mean, we led with the local teams on New York or whatever line we catered to, like Chicago led with the Cubs and the White Sox and the Bears and all that. And then Detroit, you had the Lions and the Red Wings and the Tigers. So, those were up top on the scoreboard, but we had to wait till the games were over for the night before we left, and the Seattle Mariners were the real bugaboo because they always had those, they started late and their games took forever. I mean, what happens now with the runner on second to speed up the game in extra innings? Those
Sure.
extra inning games were a terror in the old days. You get 14, 15 innings, you're not walking out of there
You'd
until
be up till
2:30 in the
2 o'clock in the
morning.
morning. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And you gotta turn around. You gotta get back for work the next morning. This thing has to be manned 24/7, right? I mean, it was
Right.
truly 24/7.
I didn't have the day shift. It was somebody else, but we were there the night of July 4th, 1985, when the Mets played 19 innings against the Braves with that long rain delay, that crazy night in Atlanta. We had to wait out that. I think I had swear words for Tom Gorman's entire
Oh,
family that
with
night.
Rick Kemp. Yeah. Because, well, people think about it, Mets fans or the Braves fans, oh, they tie the game. Why wouldn't you want this kind of riveting game? I just want to go home. I want the game to end. Here it is. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Howie Carpin's got a final report of Mets victory. Keith Hernandez goes for the cycle, a classic game in Mets history. He doesn't want to, he just wants to get out of there because now instead of having a late, midnight snack, he's having breakfast. He didn't even have dinner at that point.
You
So
know, it's
that
funny.
must have been
My
a wild night.
it was because my wife used to be in radio, and she worked an early morning shift that morning, and she needed the car because we shared the car. But thankfully, I made it home in time for her to leave.
The names here: Howie Rose, Gary Cohen, John Janone. I mean, Brian Kilmeade, who's a Fox Hawk, Don LaGreca. As you mentioned, I mean, I could go down the list here. There are names. I mean, it's almost like anybody and everybody that is a luminary in sports made at least a cameo. Joe Benigno, Kenny Albert, Ed Coleman. I mean, these names you have here, you go down and down. It's amazing. It's like everybody touched sports phone in some small way, even if it was for a hot minute.
Yeah, but like Joe Benigno didn't really work there, or Ed Coleman didn't really work there, but they were like callers, so we included them in the list. But
Right,
John
right.
Gianone worked there, Bob Papa, Steve Cangelosi, Steve Torrey, those Gary Cohn were a lot of people came through there. You're right, and also the names on that list were people. It's an incredible list of names and alumni that came through those halls for sure.
Was there, you mentioned the July 4th, 1985 game. Was there a night, whether it be baseball related, Mets related, or sports related, that really stands out, a crazy night for you? Just something that always will be the synopsis of that journey, which was 9761313.
Well, you'll like this one because I was on the air. I was on New York Sports Phone the night of Game 6 of the 86 World Series. I was with a guy, a friend of mine was there, and he uttered this famous phrase. He said, if the Red Sox could, it looked like the Mets were going to lose. He said, if the Red Sox could win the World Series, then the Rangers could win the Stanley Cup. And then all of a sudden, chaos and things turned around. And I kept saying, this is a true story. I kept saying, it's not over. I said, not over. And then all of a sudden, you had that great, finish in the end. And
Right.
I got to report that on Sports Phone that night. So that was a memorable evening.
And you guys weren't doing pre-recorded stuff. So it's not like you started to prepare with like a Red Sox win, like, how they, the old story where they flash congratulations Red Sox on the screen. It was basically you were waiting and you were jumping on it the minute the game was over, right? It wasn't any kind of pre-recorded content.
Yeah, but we didn't really give details on the scores unless you had time. Now you only had one baseball game that night, so I'm sure we gave some details. But we used to have what we call a slate, where we'd have all the scores on this piece of paper, and that would be our scripts. The scripts wouldn't be written out with words. Basically, you'd ad lib it off the slate because that's all you did was scores. Now, The crazy nights were college basketball Saturday night, because we dealt with about 90 scores to where we actually used two other lines to put other finals on once those games were over. And then we'd have to promo those on the main sports phone line, the 1313. But we had a 2525, and we also had a 6767, if memory serves me correctly, on those nights. Same thing with college football on Saturday afternoon. There were so many games, we had to push the finals, the early finals, over to 9762525. And then we'd promo more scores there so people would go there in case they missed the score on 1313.
How would you watch all these games? Would you guys have like a satellite set up and you would just be watching like almost like a crazy sports bar set up like that? Especially when you talk about NFL Sunday, college basketball, or even at, the height of the baseball season, you have so many games going on around the 8 o'clock hour. How would you guys manage going through all those games and getting some pertinent, or it was just, hey, I just need to know the score. That was it, type of deal.
Well, before the satellite came in, we did have a satellite later in my tenure there, but we had stringers at every game. And sometimes, like on college basketball and college football, we would call every 10 minutes to press boxes to get updates. And, admittedly, it got kind of annoying for the people answering the phone at times. But for the most part, we had stringers. We paid them to call in every 10 minutes. Every baseball game, we had a stringer. Every NFL game we had a stringer. So every 10 minutes, or every, and at, with the football, they wouldn't call every 2 minutes. They would call when there was a scoring update. Instead of calling, they're not going to call every 2 minutes. It was ridiculous. It was a toll-free line they can call from around the country. But with football, whenever there was a score update, when the score changed, then they'd call. Baseball, they called every 10 minutes, and kind of also the same concept when there was a score change. They would call in, but that's how we did it. We had stringers everywhere in the country. We had steady people in Boston, and we had a Detroit and Chicago office. So every 10 minutes, there'd be a conference call with Detroit and Chicago and New York, to where we'd all trade our scores, and then we'd go in the booth and record the updates. And then we'd do that every 10 minutes, and that's how the cycle went.
And that's the amazing part, because think about it. Here you are, you're a Mets fan, big September game facing the Cardinals. Yeah, there'll be updates during the Channel 9 or the Sports Channel broadcast. But back then, if you wanted to get the competitive score, you can't just go. And at that point, was no fan, but later on there'd be fan, but there'd be a game on the fan. You would call 9761313. I remember plenty of times. Let me get a Pirates score because the Mets are trailing the Pirates by a game in the standings. It was a real fun tool. And, when you hear what you guys had to do, stringer at the game, stringer's got to get a phone line. You guys got to make the call. I mean, what we take for granted today with our apps, with our MLB.com apps and our streams, think of all of the people that it took to get the same experience. And even though it was archaic, how much fun it was for you guys. It was a grind, hard job, granted, no, not like you had a great social life, I'm sure, but you guys all seem, when you read the book, anybody who you touch, whether they're a caller or somebody that was there, they seem to value the experience.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had no real connections in the business. I always wanted to be in sports media, and it gave me my start. I was very fortunate to meet the boss, and it just so happened that the timing was right because they were expanding. They were looking for more people at the time. As the book points out, it started in 1972, but really didn't take off till 1975. And then so I got there in 1980. And that's when they expanded into Buffalo, Rochester. We had an Atlanta sports phone. We had a New Orleans. We went into a lot of markets to try and, put up these lines. So we needed a lot of announcers. Charlie Slows came through there. He's now the Nationals play-by-play guy. Obviously, I mentioned Steve Torrey, Steve Cangelosi, John Giannone. A lot of Fordham guys were recommended because of King Wally, who's now the Mike Walczewski, the Garden PA announcer. That's King Wally. He got the nickname, and obviously he had the connection to Fordham. So a lot of the young Fordham guys were looking to break in the business, worked at FUV, so they got opportunities there as well. And it set up a lot of guys for what they were doing today in the business. Really amazing. The list of alumni there is just unbelievable.
And Mike Walkowski, I mean, for a generation of Knicks fans, they remember John Condon.
Right.
My generation remembers Mike. Derek Hopper. Like, who can forget that? I mean, you
That's
know, this
Mike.
they, that's Mike, and he still does it, you know, and he's, I don't think he does every game now. I noticed there is some substitution. And I saw Mike on this pan over the when I was watching a game the other day. I'm like, Mike's got white hair now. I haven't looked at him in a while. So it's pretty cool. It's really amazing. And I mean, as I look at this, you know, I'm very thankful as I'm reading this about the resources and tools we have today. But as I read it and I think of all the people and all the work and all the stories, I hate to say it, with the technology, we've lost some obviously jobs and people, good people in the industry. You know, that is inevitable. It's like anything with mechanization. But there's a certain amount of soul that I think is lost when you have everything just kind of beaming through the screen. Now, I'm not looking to trade and go back to 1987. I'm not saying that. But I'll be honest with you, as I read this, it just seemed like, you know what? I was too young to appreciate it from a media perspective. Seemed like you guys had a hell of a lot of fun. Grind again, like I said, I don't want to take away from the fact that you were working hard, not making as much as you probably deserved, and had an impact on your social life. But this seems like a hell of a lot more fun than what I hear from people in media today and their experiences, even as hard as this was.
Well, that's what we tried to portray in the book. Certainly the stories I put in there. And, you know, Kenny Albert did the foreword for us. He was a frequent caller to the what was called the Quickie Quiz, which ran twice a day during the week and was a very popular item on Sports Phone. You know, sometimes they gave away prizes, sometimes we had tickets to give away to devil games and things like that. But the winner of the quiz would get his name on Sports Phone. And the caller would appreciate that to hear their name on Sports Phone and, you know, call the tape and get the answer at 3:30 in the afternoon, because those were the slow times. That's the time when we really did, you know, feature type sports reports and used actualities, because except for baseball in the afternoon and an occasional NBA or something in an afternoon game during the week, those were mostly the feature type sports reports. So that's where we relied on the extra sound beside the voice that you heard on the recording. But it was, you know, the scores sold it at night. I mean, we used to get people calling us from WCBS for scores before they went on with their sports cast at a quarter after and a quarter two. And that's where we all got our, you know, I remember in the 70s, I remember when Bobby Mercer was traded for Bobby Bonds. That's how I found out about it. I found out about it on WCBS. And here was Sports Phone giving you instant updates once you dialed in and you got the information right away. So that was the first step to, you know, to what eventually became today.
Couple of things before we wrap up. I don't believe there's a WFAN in 87 if not for the work of you guys, because I think there had to be some proof of concept with all the calls you were getting. Someone saying, hey, imagine if we did that with a talk show and all the listeners, all the ears, all the engagement, because you had nowhere else to go. You didn't have a lot of cable. I mean, I didn't have cable till the early 90s because not everywhere in New York was wired up. So the radio would be my friend. The reason I love radio to this day is because that's what I had as a young kid. I had, you know, the Channel 9 games for the Mets. I had no cable. So Bob Murphy at the time and Gary Thorne and then eventually Gary Cohen, they were probably doing about 80 to 90 games of my baseball consumption. And then the pre and post game with Howie and the battles he had with Davey Johnson and all the things I remember about the golden age of WFAN, those early years, really doesn't happen if it's not for you guys, I believe. And I'm sure you agree with that.
I agree. I mean, you know, it's funny. In the 80s, it was my suggestion that, you know, when we did it in the booth, we had a microphone, you know, to keep the sound, you know, the clarity of the sound on the recording. But you could also do it right into a phone, you know. So I suggested that we send guys out to the actual ballparks, the baseball. We send people to Shea. We send people to Yankee Stadium. They would call to the office to get their scores every 10 minutes, and then they do the sports phone report like from the game, and you had the ambiance of being at the ballpark. You know, you didn't have a microphone, but it did it going in the phone itself and doing it came out well enough to where it was, you know, manageable, and it gave you a little ambiance of being at the games. And then we sent people to the winter meetings. You know, I went to the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl 21 for Sports Phone. I happened to be the Giant beat reporter that year. Did all the home games for Sports Phone. I would call in voicers, during the game. We would actually run some voicers during the game. You have to keep them real short. You do about 15, 20 seconds. But we had people on site everywhere, and plus we had our own phone lines at all these arenas, and even the newspaper guys didn't even have that, their own phone. So a lot of times they'd ask to use our phone and things like that. So that's how we built up our reputation, just by having even a phone line at the game and being on site. They knew somebody from Sports Phone was going to be there, and that they, if they needed something from that game and they didn't have anybody there, they knew they could call us.
Would you have like a stopwatch timing yourself? Because you don't have any do-overs, right? Or do you get do-overs? How did you guys manage that? That's
I
tough,
think I had a
58
stop.
seconds.
I think I had a
58
stop.
seconds is tough.
I
Real
know,
tough.
very
Real tough.
hard. Although you get a feel for it after a while when you do it for, a lot. But yeah, I had a stopwatch. I had a watch, and then I used the second hand probably. It's so long ago, I don't remember what I did.
Every time I have someone on who does a project like this, I was wondering if you learned anything new, a story that you didn't know that stands out. Is there one thing that you took away that was like, wow, that was something different that you didn't expect going in? And then obviously when the finishing touches are on, you're like, wow, I never thought I learned that, or something that, stands out to you.
Just overwhelmed by the response so far. I mean,
Even
everyone.
Frank the Tank, huh?
I
He's in there
know.
too. Frank the Tank is a mini celebrity.
Well, I don't
Could
know
he
if you're.
call?
I think you remember the 1979 BC scandal with the point shaving. Yeah, my co-author tracked down the FBI agents who worked on the case, and they, and in the book, as you see, they allowed us to print the phone records. That's Henry Hill, who was making
Henry
those.
Hell is
Was
calling in.
making
I
those
did see
calls,
that.
right?
That's
He was making
crazy.
the calls from Vegas, from a Vegas hotel, and they used the phone records to nab him. And then they eventually nabbed Jimmy the Gent, who was Robert De Niro's character in the movie, through Henry Hill, who had to cave in and kind of rat on him. So that was a little
So it
surprising.
wasn't drugs like the movie. It was
Yeah,
gambling that did Henry Hill in. That's the amazing thing.
it was the gambling, calling Sports Phone.
More dramatized. It would have been cool in Goodfellas, there's Jimmy the Gent, Jimmy Conway, and who bangs on the phone just like I banged on the phone, and they rolled off his story because damn Alonzo Mourning and Pat Riley and Tim Hardaway beat the Knicks in game
And
six.
also Pete Rose was a big fan, because he
Oh, I'm sure.
obviously anytime he saw the Sports Phone mic, he was nice to our guys, even if he had a bad game as a manager, because we had to talk to him after every game. He'd see the Sports Phone mic, and he sometimes he'd ask for scores. And so would another guy named Howie
And nobody
Spira.
knew.
You remember
Nobody
Howie?
knew Howie Spira. Yeah,
Yeah.
George Steinbrenner
Oh,
hired
yeah.
him. Yeah, to spy on Dave Winfield. Who would have thought? Nobody would have thought that that was a harbinger of things to come with Pete Rose and everything. So, Howie, what are you up to outside of this book? Still scoring games? Still at the ballpark? Give the listeners an idea. You've been on many. You've been on for other projects. You have other books. What do you got going on at the ballpark?
Well, this is my 26th year as official scorer in New York. I'm senior scorer now. And I still work at SiriusXM. I'm actually transcending what I used to do at Sports Phone onto a little
I've
bigger
heard you.
platform.
I've heard you. You don't sound.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about Howie Carpenter. I was in the car. I'm driving, get my coffee, and I hear Howie Carpenter. I'm like, that didn't sound like him. Doesn't sound like you when you do the updates. I don't know how you do it. You change your voice. You're kind of like one of these British actors that has an American accent. I'm like, how the hell? It's not that bad. But I did not recognize your voice, Lisa. Hi, I'm Howie Carpenter, and this is your SiriusXM Sports update. So your kind of thing. Were you at the ballpark this weekend for Mets Cardinals doing any scoring, or what have you been doing with that related to the Mets and the Yankees this season?
Yeah, I did the Friday night game, and I'll be doing the first three against the Cubs starting tomorrow night. And like I said, this is my 26th year, and the Mets and Yankees actually honored me, and they actually came together last year because it was year 25, and they gave me a framed lineup card from the Yankee Met game, Subway
I
Series game,
remember.
at the one I worked last year at Yankee Stadium. So it's hanging in my house, and it has a plaque that says 25 years of service. It has the Yankees and the Mets on the plaque. I never thought they could get together to do something like that, but the
Then.
Mets actually handed it to me because I was at Citi for the last game of the season. But both the Yankees and Mets were involved. I was very flattered, and believe me, I love it. I mean, I've been very fortunate to to be in the business now 45 years, 26 as a scorer. I get to cover baseball, which is my passion. It's always been a big part of my life, and I'm very fortunate to be doing what I'm doing.
Well, Howie, this is a great book, guys. You should check it out, 976-1313.com. The book is 976-1313, How Sports Phone Launched Careers and Broke New Ground. And the reason why we're here and we could do a dopey podcast on a Sunday night where I could get this content out within, like, you know, 30 minutes after finding, you know, Howie to come on and doing my intro is because guys like Howie were pioneers and did it at a much more difficult time. I feel blessed that I have all this technology, but there's a certain amount of charm that is missed. And Howie, I'm glad you lived it. I'm glad you shared it. And thank you again. And if there's anything more we could do to promote this great project, let us know, and appreciate the time here on a Sunday.
Yeah, if you could just put, you know, promo it on social media, it'd be very appreciated. Always a pleasure to come on.
Absolutely.
With you.
Thank you, Howie. Have a great Sunday. Appreciate it, my friend. That's Howie Carpen at Howie Carpen on X. Appreciate a couple of minutes here tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Talk a little bit about Mark Vientos. Mets 1 month in. Francisco Lindor, this lightning rod. And I'll be heading out to Tampa at this time next. Well, I'll be coming back from Tampa at this time next week. So I'll have an opportunity to see the team on the road, talk to some people around baseball, hopefully get perspective on what they think about this Mets team. So going to reserve, you know, we talked in the opening a little bit about where this team was at and Mark Vientos. I think he's the big topic because of the big home run, but I think he's, you know, a really interesting piece that this team has to take a look at as we continue to get to know not only the Mets, but the Mets organization here as we, you know, head into the first end of the first month here of 2024. And I thought we let our hair down a little bit as we do throughout the regular season, where we have these fun, breezy, you know, conversations that are not always directly related to Mets baseball, but something like this. I'm passionate about radio. I'm passionate about communication and the medium of media. I don't like what it's become, but I'm very humbled that I can put my small piece into that big, huge pie, you know, like a needle in the haystack, so to speak. But it's guys like Howie and Sports Phone and WFAN, the early days. Those are the reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I fell in love with sports and sports media because of those kind of mediums of exchange. And today it's so different, but there's a certain charm of, you know, the storytelling and the ways that you consume sports, the passion back then. It was so much harder. You had to sometimes make much harder choices than you do today. Today you could record a game, go out to dinner with your spouse, stay away from the score, and then watch it on replay on the MLB.com TV. You know, you couldn't do that back in 1985. You know, if Mets were playing a big game, you know, and you had an engagement, you had to do what I had to do. You had to go to the Waldorf Astoria. You had to go find a payphone and call 976-1313. So we ended on a little interesting note. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another edition of the Talking Mets podcast. I want to thank Howie Carpen at Howie Carpen on X. Appreciate him for tuning in. 976-1313.com. Check out the book. You can check me out all the time at the TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. No G. Mike Silvat, TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. And don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to welcome in the good, well, I want to thank the good folks, not to welcome in, I want to thank the good folks from Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.
For the